Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered again this morning, the house of the Lord. It's been a blessing to be here again and hear the word and the singing. And you know, it's kind of hard to believe it's been a year since we, we got the news there was a kidnapping. And just, I don't know if anybody remembers that feeling sinking through your heart. No, and one of our own was, just brings it closer home. So I remember that. And so let's also remember others like Brother Elson shared who are in that situation now. There's many people in the world in that situation now, and a lot worse. So let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer, and then we'll begin here. Father in heaven, we do bow our hearts here this morning. We thank you and praise you again for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your love. We sang that song, for God so loved us, he sent his Savior. We thank you for sending us a Savior to redeem us, Lord, from the curse of sin. Lord, the curse that came up on all mankind because of Adam and Eve there, Lord, and we just thank you that you so loved us, that you gave us redemption, that your Son was willing to die on the cross for our sins. We bless you and we praise you for such a sacrifice, so great a gift that you have blessed us with, and we thank you and bless you. And because of that, Lord, you have called us unto yourself to be a special people to yourself, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray today that we could be experience that blessing that you have given to your people, Lord. I do pray for the anointing of the preaching of your word. May you be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just a question, as God's children, do you all know that you are special this morning to God? You know, we take a baby, and we just adore it, and we love it, and, it just brings, there's a specialness. But each one of us this morning are special in the eyes of God. This morning, a title, somewhat, is it okay to be a peculiar people? Is it okay to be a peculiar people? In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll start reading in verse 4. Or 3, if so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Notice that word, chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, you, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we are a chosen generation as born-again believers, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, that word peculiar means possessed. We are possessed by God. God, we are set apart for Him. God set us apart for Him. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you that it's okay to be a peculiar people, a people that is set apart for God. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he acknowledged that he was set apart for God. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Here he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You know, we heard this morning in the children's lesson where the Apostle Paul was, right? He was going about, but even, you know, God called him and took him and separated him from that and set him apart for the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I would just like to show to you from the Scriptures how God always wanted a people set apart for himself, a peculiar people that he could shower his love upon, where he could bless, that he could dwell with, that he could live with, and there'd be a fellowship. There, you know, God is a God that wants fellowship with him. And so, you know, we look at Enoch, we look at Noah. They were all set apart that God could show his love upon them. Just think of Noah, you know, him and his wife and his three sons and their daughter-in-laws, that God set them apart to show his love upon them, to shower his love. And then it was Abraham. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 12. We read of God setting Abraham apart, a peculiar people for himself. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. I do have a lot of scriptures, so if you want to, you're welcome to turn with me to them. But if not, I just desire that you would listen and see God's heart in this. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So he was calling him out of everything he knew to set him apart for himself. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So here's the beginning of a specific calling where God pulled Abraham out from where he was to set him apart for himself, a peculiar people, a people that he could shower his blessings upon, a people that he could love. You know, we heard this morning Brother Elson share, you know, looking to God, looking to Jesus, and not so much looking back, and I had this thought, you know, in most games that you play, in the sports realm, most of the time, they it's the more offense, the better they are in offense, the more often they're going to win. You know, if they don't, they can play defense, but if there's not good offense to go with it, they're not going to win the game. And it's the same way with us. You know, our, like he shared, our back is not covered. Let's look to God. Let's look to him who has separated us, and then he will help us fight our battles. He will win their battles for us. As we look to God through Jesus Christ, our author and finisher of our faith. So this was the beginning here of a nation that God set apart for himself. And after Abraham, it was Isaac. And then it was Jacob, you know, his people that he set apart. And then it was the 12 sons of Jacob. And so the Jews were God's chosen people where God could manifest himself and show the world that he existed through them. And through them, God was able to reveal his mighty power. We all know the story of him bringing them out of Egypt and all that. The world looked up on it and were amazed. You know, Egypt was the mighty power of the world. And here they were defeated. Here they were put down because, and as they traveled on into their journey, the people that they were coming close to began to fear them because they knew that there was a higher power with the children of Israel. They knew there was something great, a greater power than just the natural that they were used to. And so God was glorified through that. So that's the reason that God wants a people, a peculiar people, that he may show the world. What did Jesus say? By your love for one for another, by this shall the world know that you are my disciples. Because God wants a people that are peculiar to show forth his praises, there we read. And so, and that's always been the heart of God through the Old Covenant. So I have different Old Testament scriptures here that I'm going to read. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 15. He says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath delight in thy fathers to love them." And notice, "and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day." Of all the people that were in the world at that time, God reached down and chose Abraham and promised him that you are going to be the peculiar people that I am going to show myself to, where I'm going to love and pour out my blessings. And we back up to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. He says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people." Notice that. "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." Then he says, "above all people that are upon the face of the earth." He has chosen you to be a special people above all people that are upon the earth. He says, then verse 7, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." They were the fewest. It wasn't because they were some mighty nation doing many mighty things that he chose them. They were the fewest. How many were there? It was Abraham and Sarah, right? Two of them. That's when he promised, made this promise. Verse 8, "but because the Lord loved you because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And I just want you to notice there, because it wasn't because they were a mighty nation. It was, he chose them, for ye were the fewest. And so even today, the word of God tells us, Jesus says, there's few going to be saved. And those are the ones, the peculiar people that are saved, born again by the Spirit of God. Those are the ones that God has called his special people today. Those are the ones, and I'm getting ahead of myself there a little bit, but I just want, it's not because we are many, but it's those, as we're going to see a little bit later, those who love to keep his word and keep his commandments, those that love him. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Do we get a picture of God's heart here? He always wanted a people, a special people unto himself, a peculiar people. Deuteronomy 26, verse 17 and 9 through 19. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, to hearken unto his voice. So there's the reason that God made him his special people, his peculiar people, because they purposed or avouched in their heart that God was going to be, the Lord was going to be their God, and they would walk in his ways. Verse 18 says, because they did that, and it says, and the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. You know, because they purpose in their heart they were going to serve the Lord made a promise. He's going to, I'm going to, you know, when we make that promise today to serve the Lord with all our heart and love him, we truly are a peculiar people. Because this flesh has appetites. This flesh wants to be pleased. This flesh wants its desires. But we have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof, and we have, you know, avouched ourselves to keep the Lord's ways and to walk in his commandments. And because we do that, the Lord looks down and says, that's a special person. That's a special man. That's a special woman. And so this morning, you know, I just want to, you know, affirm God's love for us. God looks down and sees us, that we are needy people, and yet he loves us. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Leviticus chapter 20, we have some more verses. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 23 and 24 and 26. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Notice that. We are a peculiar people, a separated people. I, the Lord, have separated you from other people. You know, when we get born again by the Spirit of God, I didn't separate myself. The Lord separated me by saving me through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, we walk in obedience. He says, ye shall, then look down to verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from all other people, that ye should be mine. I've severed you. You know, when you're severed, when something is severed, you know, it is completely cut off, you know, from all other things. You know, if my, you know, people get in accidents where their limbs get severed. I mean, if they're, I know of people who are missing their arm, their hand got severed. It's not there anymore. It's separated. It's not part, it has no part of it anymore, of the rest of the body. And that's what God says here. I have severed you from all other people that you should be mine. God wants a people that are his, that are separated, a peculiar people from everybody else. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Some more. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. There's our word again, peculiar treasure. Unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure. I've been reading through the Old Testament just lately here and been finding these verses, and I've just been blessed, you know. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So, you know, if Moses was to speak these words to the children of Israel, I think we should speak these things to the children of the Most High today too, right? These words of affirmation, these words of encouragement, these words that, you know, let us know God's love for us, what he wants us. So, do we get the picture of how God chose a people unto himself in the old covenant? And Isaiah, now we're going to switch a little bit. Isaiah 62, verse 11 and 12 is a promise of the new covenant. Isaiah 62, verse 11 and 12. He says this, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken." So this is a promise, a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And here, and this is what his followers are going to be called. They're going to be called a holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. "And thou shalt be called sought out." You know, we are sought out, a city not forsaken. I'm so thankful today that God did not forsake us as the Gentiles. So the Jewish nation back then was God's chosen people, where God could manifest himself to and show the world that he was a, that there was a living God, that there was a creator, that there was a higher power that existed through them. But now it's no longer the Jewish nation that God has set himself apart. We read of a shift taking place here in Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus gives this parable to the Jewish leaders of his day. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. He says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servant, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? In verse 41, they answered him. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy these wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, listen, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, this is a Jewish nation, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So God made a transition here from the Jewish nation, that they were his, they are still, I believe, his chosen people, but he has, they have a special place, I believe, in the end times. I don't know how all that's going to work, but God has taken that peculiar people that they were called to and placed it onto someone else. And that is you and I today, who have been born again by the Spirit of God. And so I'm very thankful for the opportunity that God has given to you and I, that we as Gentiles, we can be called his special people. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a whole lot of hope for you and I, of God setting his love upon you and me. But because God so loved the world and sent his only begotten Son, there's hope today that we can be a nation, that we can be a holy nation, that we can be a peculiar people, as the scripture says, to show forth his praises. And we read there in 1 Peter 2 also about God. Verse 8, there, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You know, they stumbled. The Jewish nation, they stumbled at the word, being disobedient, that Jesus Christ brought them. And so we see a transition has taken place, that God, that we can be God's special people through the new birth. So, who is this nation today? It's you and I. You know, Jews are no longer God's chosen few, but God's chosen few today are the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And I praise him for that. It's you and I that have been born again, and God wants to show himself through the world that there is a God, that there is a creator, that there is a higher power that exists. You know, I just read those verses in Peter. I'll read them again. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To show it forth, you know, to magnify the power of God in our lives. Is the power of God being manifested, magnified? Are we showing it forth as a peculiar people? Are our lives showing that? Do the people, like in the days when the children of Israel were defeating nations and conquering nations, and the people abroad were hearing about it and they were trembling at these people that are marching forward. We're going to be next. And so, and I think in Romans there it says that their faith was spoken abroad throughout the whole world. You know, the praises of God were being showed forth by the Roman church there somehow that everybody was hearing about it. And so it's a challenge to my heart to be that people that God wants to bless and love. Romans 2, 28 and 29 tells us that we are the Jews now. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. These are the ones that were born a Jew. Neither is he is that circumcision which is outward of the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so, we become a Jew when we're born again, when we, God's chosen people, when we become born again by His Spirit, we, I think that word Jew probably just means simply God's chosen people. We become God's chosen people when we have our heart circumcised, where our God can write His laws, His words upon them, and we obey Him. As we read there earlier, they purposed in their heart they were going to serve Him, and that's how we are God's chosen people, and God sets His love upon us. So I bless Him and praise Him for that. And we see in the new covenant the same principle, how they were to be separated in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Very familiar that God calls us to be a separated people. Verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them." See that? We read that in the old covenant, right? You know, be ye separate. We saw the word severed. We saw the two do not mix. He says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So God wants, in order for to be sons and daughters, there needs to be a separation, a separated people, a peculiar people, one who has been possessed by God. Notice the separation in verse 13. The principle that we read in the old covenant is still there for you and I today. Does that mean that we don't ever share with lost people? No. But if the scripture does say, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, Jesus says, "I send you into the world, even as the Father sent me into the world, so send I you into the world." We don't, we're not rubbing shoulders with the world to fellowship with them, but in order to win them and so I encourage you to, you know, I'm not here today. We're separated. So, you know, some people say we're, separate themselves. You don't ever reach out to anybody. You don't talk to anybody. That's not what I'm saying here. They just seclude themselves, isolate themselves. That's not the heart of God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, in order to be a stranger and pilgrim on the earth, you're separated from, you know, from the rest. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You know, their lifestyle, the way they live, and the way they think, and the way they talk, they are pilgrims and strangers compared to the way the rest of the world speaks and talks and operates and lives and so forth. And look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. You know, and that's a burden to me. You know, people come out, they separate themselves from the world and get born again by the Spirit. But then after time, they get mindful of the country where they left this world, and they return. They return. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, here's God's love here again to us. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know, if you are willing to be a separated people, called unto God, God is not ashamed to be called your God. Jesus says, if we're ashamed of him and his word in this adulterous and sinful generation, he will be ashamed to confess us before our heavenly Father on the day of judgment. And so when we live to God's principles and called out, he's not ashamed. And he has proven it by preparing a city for them, he says. This is how God proves it. He has prepared for them a city. Jesus said in John 14, that I go and prepare a place for you. And so God's not ashamed to be called their God. Hebrews 2:11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you and I brethren, brothers with him. And so today I just want to encourage you to embrace being a chosen generation, embrace a royal priesthood, embrace being a holy nation, embrace being a peculiar people. Don't be ashamed about it. God won't be and if you're not ashamed about it, God won't be ashamed to be your God. God wants to be your God. He wants to shower his love upon you. You know, I had to think, this world is not ashamed to embrace the ways of the world. You know, they dye their hair purple, blue, pink, orange, red, bodies full of tattoos. They're not afraid to embrace the ways of the world. They're not ashamed to. They boldly do it. And piercings in their tongues, piercings in their nose, piercings in their eyebrows, piercings in their cheeks. They're not afraid to, they're not ashamed to embrace the ways of the world, the ways of the devil. You know, just a week ago, I seen a man with things, horns coming every which direction out of his, across his face. And, you know, they're not ashamed. They boldly proclaim which kingdom they're a part of. They boldly proclaim that they're a part of Satan's kingdom. And, you know, they're not ashamed to expose their nakedness. They boldly proclaim. They embrace the world that they're a part of unashamedly. And yet, so many Christians get timid and ashamed to embrace, to be a peculiar people, to be a chosen generation, to be God's special people. Let's embrace it, and God will not be ashamed to God will not be ashamed to be called my God. So I read this verse again in Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to just read it again. It's a powerful verse. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, and above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Now I just want to, just share there. I think sometimes people are persuaded by numbers. They think, well, majority of professing Christians Christendom is going this way, so it must be okay. And it's not in the majority of numbers. God has chosen the special few, the peculiar people. And just because majority of Christianity is walking in a certain direction does not make it right. And so they end up getting ashamed of being peculiar. They get ashamed of being a holy nation. They want to blend in more and more. It feels more comfortable to the flesh. But let's not get that way. In the kingdom of God, we see the word few used multiple times. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." And he says, "Few be there that find it. Few be there that find it." I often think of in Noah's day, there were 8 souls that were saved. There were a lot of people on the face of the earth. In the days of Elijah, there were 7,000. And that's not very many compared to how many people were on the face of the earth. God said there were 7,000. And Jesus asked this question, shall he find faith on the earth when he returns? Shall he find it? So he says it's going to be few. And so I just want to encourage you, God's blessing is upon those who love him and keep his way. And so often people start slowly to blend in. They don't end up from here over to there in one day. It's a process. They start to blend in and adopt the ways of the majority. Few embrace the lifestyle of the chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation. God is not ashamed of his chosen few, but let us not be ashamed either. God is looking today for a people to shower his love upon. Look at verse 7 and 8. The Lord did set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We've been redeemed out of the house of darkness, from Egypt by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's walk as a peculiar people, a chosen generation, those who confess that they are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And John chapter 14, I shared these verses Thursday evening, but I just want to share them again. Some of you were not here. Verse 21, this is Jesus' words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And so we, as a peculiar people, a holy nation, a separated people, as we obey his word and keep his commandments, It says, my Father, he shall be loved of my Father. He shall be loved. And we read that theme all the way through the Old Covenant here. He shall be loved. And Jesus also says, and I will love him also. We jump down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth my saying, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So twice here, Jesus says, if a man love me and will keep my words, my Father will love him. That's the person my Father will love. And we will come and make our abode with him. In Revelations chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, God loves us so much, he has made us kings and priests. And Brother Merlin read this verse this morning, and I'm going to just read it here in closing. Revelations 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, this morning, I was looking at focusing on God, and God is love. But like Elson said, we're just going to take one quick look and look back. This is what's happening. He's trying to keep you from keeping the commandments of God. He's trying to keep you from being that peculiar nation, the peculiar people. He's trying to keep you from being that separated person. He's trying to keep you from being that special people to God. So, but greater is he who's in you than he who is in this world. So praise the Lord. We have an advocate sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And you and I are priests that we can come to his throne. You no longer have to go to the temple. You can be that holy priesthood. You can be that person yourself. So just wanted to bless you this morning with the word of God, how God loves us so much that he wants us to be a peculiar people, a holy nation, and he will not be ashamed to be called my God, to be called your God. He wants to, and so hopefully this morning you can see that you're special in the eyes of God if you've been born again by his Spirit. So let's have a closing prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love this morning. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to shower your love upon us and help us, Lord, to, with renewed vigor, serve you and love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. In Jesus' name, bless your word now. Amen.